Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Thus, when all a man's activities are dedicated in the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. The purport. Fruitive work, which has perpetually engaged the living being, is compared to the banyan tree in the Bhagavad Gita, for it is certainly very deeply rooted. As long as the propensity for enjoying the fruit of work is there, one has to continue the transmigration of the soul from one body or place to another, according to one's nature of work. The propensity for enjoyment may be turned into the desire for serving the mission of the Lord. By doing so, one's activities is changed into karma yoga or the way by which one can attain spiritual perfection while engaging in the work for which he has a natural tendency. Here the word atma indicates the category of all fruitive work. The conclusion is that when the result of all fruitive and other work is dovetailed in the service of the Lord, it will cease to generate further karma and will gradually develop into transcendental devotional service, which will not only cut completely the root of the banyan tree of work, but also carry the performer to the lotus feet of the Lord. The summary is that one has to, first of all, seek the association of pure devotees who not only are learned in the Vedanta, but are self-realized souls and unalloyed devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. In that association, the neophyte devotees must render loving service physically and mentally without reservation. This service attitude will induce the great souls to be more favorable in bestowing their mercy, which injects the neophyte with all transcendental qualities of the pure devotees. Gradually, this is developed into a strong attachment to hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, which makes him able to catch up the constitutional position of the gross and subtle bodies, and beyond them the knowledge of the pure soul and his eternal relation with the Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead. After the relation is ascertained by establishment of eternal relation, pure devotional service to the Lord begins gradually developing into perfect knowledge of the Personality of Godhead, beyond the purview of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma. By such Purushottam Yoga, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one is made perfect even during the present corporeal existence, and one exhibits all good qualities of the Lord to the highest percentage. Such is the gradual development by the association of pure devotees. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopita Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Piye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyasya Kipa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitana Bhavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschachade Satayine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasati Gauravattavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam Kuroti Vacharam Bangam Langai Te Krim Yat Kapata Vamude Shri Gurun Dinatayam. Hare Krishna. I was reading, and Srila Prabhupada always used to like advise to his preachers. He would say to them that when you're speaking, you should accommodate to the lowest common denominator. And then I was just sitting here, and I was thinking, I'm sitting in front of all of you, and I'm chuckling inside because I feel like I'm the lowest common denominator, but yet somehow I have to speak. So to some extent, Arjuna had it easy. He just had to fight against his relatives and kill them. And I have to speak in front of all of you and somehow say some words which hopefully don't bore you. But please do send your blessings so hopefully I can say something of relevance, of benefit, and something practical for us to take away in our devotional lives. So yeah, humble request. When I first read this purport, I just thought it's an incredible purport. It just encompasses the whole process in a nutshell, and Prabhupada goes through the whole way that this process from beginning to perfection actually happens. And the amazing part is that we've just heard Narada Muni, his own story. He just relayed his own story to Vyasadeva for the benefit of him learning how he became such a pure devotee. And then Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, he breaks it down exactly what happens in someone's, in their own journey. And so, after hearing about Narada's instructions in this section, he's now explaining to Vyasadeva the importance, and he's advising him what to base his writings on now. And he says two things to Narada Muni, to Vyasadeva, on how to progress in his writing. One thing is that he says you should now write about the principles of hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then in this verse is where he starts talking to him about actually working for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When I was thinking about this purport, I was thinking in the initial stages, sometimes it's quite difficult always to see Krishna's hand, isn't it, in our spiritual journey, how he actually puts things in place. But actually this spiritual association, spiritual environments, they very much uplift us to at least trying to hold or follow some spiritual standards, some Krishna conscious standards. So just the environment around us can help us with that. And so the association of someone that's very pure, that has an amazing ability, they're able to help us see way beyond whatever we are able to perceive in our own reflections, or from our own accord, or our own readings, or etc. like that. There was once that Srila Prabhupada, he went into a temple, and it was around Mangalati time. And then, as always, he's just surrounded by all his disciples. They're eager to hear from him, eager to see what he does. And so he just looks at them all and he just said, "I see what you do not see." So the first time he says that, and they're just like, okay, just leave him to seeing whatever he sees. No one said anything. Then 2 hours later, 2 hours went past, and then again he says, "I see what you do not see." No one said anything. And then another 3 hours went past. And again, Prabhupada said, "I see what you do not see." So by this time, someone was thinking, like, what do you see? Like, are you seeing Krishna? Tell us what you're seeing. So one disciple, he plucked up the courage. He asked Prabhupada, "What do you see?" And he said, "It's 9:30 in the morning, and the light is still on." None of you have seen that. So something that was so down to earth, so practical. But you saw that actually Prabhupada, he was explaining then that this is Krishna's energy. This is Krishna's energy. Don't waste Krishna's energy. So beyond what we can see, the pure devotee or someone that's very spiritually advanced, they're able to actually see Krishna everywhere. And they're able to help others also see Krishna everywhere. So we see also the other time where Prabhupada has given this incredible lecture talking about the spiritual world, talking about Krishna, the eternal nature. And then One hippie, he asked the question, so what is this spiritual world like? And I was thinking, imagine if someone asked us that, or asked me that. As soon as I, you know, I hear some devotional knowledge or anything, I just want to regurgitate it. Just like, you know, give them the whole full whack. And I was just thinking, imagine being in Srila Prabhupada's position that someone just asks you what the spiritual world is like. I mean, your whole mission is there to give people Krishna, to give people the spiritual world. You could have said anything. You could have said the, you know, unlimited amount of cows that are running around, and you know, from their udders, there's so much milk that's just being spilled everywhere because they're so eager and happy to see Krishna. There's so many coward boys. There's endless palaces. There's endless relationships that are there. But then Prabhupada, he scopes and he sees the whole room. Who's in this room? And then he sees that actually there's so many hippies there. So in order to attract them to the spiritual world, he makes it so relevant. And he just says to them, it's like an ocean of LSD. And then like all the eyes light up. Then you're interested. Okay, now he's talking in our language, you know. Now I want to know what the spiritual world is and how to get there. So he had this... Prabhupada has this amazing ability, and the pure devotee has this amazing ability to actually deliver Krishna, to deliver this pure practice, this pure process to anyone in their own situation. And in this purport, it very much it lays out the spiritual and material reality of the world. It talks about the metaphor that's given in the 15th chapter of the banyan tree. Very important, very crucial metaphor for all of us to understand. And when you think about it in life, when you're thinking about the spiritual reality, the material reality, there's a few ways you can go about it, and you see people going around about it. One is that you can see that everything in the material world is just negative. You know, it's just, it's useless. It's depressing, it puts you down, it's, you know, where is it really going, all these kind of elements. So some people just try to cut everything, just cut it down, just put a negative connotation on it, just be completely devoid of it. But here, in this purport, what's really being given is actually to understand the material reality, conclude that is actually, you know, from a full realization, conclude the reality of it, and also attach to spirituality. But as soon as you attach to spirituality, then you actually automatically you start seeing the nature of material existence. As soon as you attach to spirituality, hearing something, experiencing something, or having any sort of realization or knowledge that we have, then you can see that nothing actually compares to it. Just at least you do the experiment. Then you see that nothing compares to it. Prabhupada would often say that it's like coming into the mafia. As soon as you're in, there's no way out. As soon as you're in, there's so many things that you're just left with that even if you try and enjoy, even if you want to have any glimpse or have any last thoughts of let me try something, something will pop up. When I was in, last year I was in America, and one devotee was telling us that before he came to Krishna consciousness, he really liked surfing, like going to the, you know, the beach, going in surfboard on those waves and doing tricks and stuff like that. So then he came to the temple, he let go of that, he was just serving on and on. And then at one point he just thought, let me just go one more time. You know, that one thing that you really want to do that you, you know, you've let go of, but you just one last time. Let me just enjoy it one last time. So he left the temple. He went to the beach, and he was surfing in the middle of the sea. And then suddenly he sees a shark fin come, and then the shark fin's getting closer to him. And then at this point, he was saying that what was going through his head is just Krishna, please save me somehow. So then he started doing Mangalati, sorry, reciting the prayers. Then he started doing Nrisingadev prayers. The shark was still coming towards him. Then he started doing Tulsi Aarti. So he went through the whole morning program in about 5 minutes. But the sharks still kept coming towards him. And then it got so close towards his board, he just completely from his heart, he just said, "Krishna, please, please, if you let me have another chance, I will just come back to you and I won't live. Sorry, I won't leave you, not live. I won't leave you ever again." So then the shark came so close to him, came up to his board, circumambulated him 3 times and just went away. And then he goes, "I just went straight back to the temple." And then even the temple president said, "You know, we haven't seen you for a while, like a few days. Where have you been?" And he goes, "No, don't worry. I'm not going anywhere now. Like, I'm completely here." So you see, there's some elements of kind of like a spiritual dent that's left from whatever interactions we've had, whatever we've heard, whatever association we've had with Srila Prabhupada. He leaves a firm dent on us. And the more and more we associate with him, the more dense we get, which make us question material reality and turn to spiritual reality. And here he puts it really nicely in the most like incredible way. He says that through this association, we'll break it down a little bit later, but as soon as the pure devotee is favorable to you, as soon as you've kind of captured them a little bit, they inject you. They inject you with pure devotional qualities, with transcendental qualities. What a way to put it, huh? They inject you. So it's through your bloodstream. So even if you try to leave it, it's just within you. And there's always certain quotes, isn't it? As soon as you read elements of the Bhagavatam or certain lectures, there's always like one-liners that always stand out to you that you just can't leave them, even if you try to. They're just ringing in your head and just like cracking your false ego like anything. One was like, in I think it's one part of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes that spirituality may be difficult, but material... Was it spirituality may be difficult? But being material is impossible, to paraphrase, isn't it? He says it a lot more powerful than what I'm saying. But it makes you question everything, isn't it? It makes you question your faith. Like, how much is material, all these solutions, all these kind of things that are coming out, how much is it really going to give me happiness? How much is it really going to give me hope or any faith or any enjoyment here? And we see that again and again with material things, it's almost like a new shell is being made for the same material thing. It's the same thing, and again, you see fashions always changing. It's coming around in the whole cycle. But actually, when you come in contact with Krishna consciousness, any spirituality, it's often easy to take it for granted because, you know, it just becomes part of everyday life. It becomes a bit mechanical, etc., like that. But actually, there's so much variety that's happening there. There's so much that's going on in spiritual life. It's just sometimes it's difficult to actually see it firsthand until you see it from someone else's perspective. Recently, we were hearing this the story of one devotee who went to Australia. Him and his friend, you know, they were from Scotland. I won't do the accent because it's quite hard for me. From Scotland. But they were from Scotland, and they at one point they decided that I want to have more adventure in my life. So they went to Australia, two best friends, and then they joined the I think it's a fire brigade there, and they were in the fire brigade, and then suddenly one of them came in contact with a devotee, and that devotee was giving him books, he was preaching to him, cultivating him. And then at one point, he decided, actually, I want to take this more serious. You know, I want to, you know, change my life around this. So then he decided, he shaved up his head, he was chanting regularly, he was hearing regularly, and he was still in the fire brigade, so a lot of his friends were like taking the mick out of him, you know, you're bold, etc., like that. And then he decided, actually, now I'm going to take the next challenge. Now I'm actually going to join the temple. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to join the temple. So then he did it. And then 25 years went past that those two friends didn't actually meet. 25 years. And then somehow they came back in contact with each other. They met up. And so the devotee friend asked his other friend, he was asking him, like, what do you do now? He said, I'm still a fire, you know, I'm still in the fire brigade. He goes, what do you do on the weekends? He goes, I still go to the same pub that we used to go to. He goes, who with? The same friends that we used to have. What are your hobbies? The same things that we used to do. And then he realized that 25 years had just gone past and nothing had changed in this person's life. Like, it was just the same thing, but he was just repeating it again and again. The routine was just the same. And then the friend asked him, so what's happened in your life? And he said, as soon as I joined the temple, everything changed. As soon as I joined the temple, I was given opportunities to go on TV, do preaching. I was going, you know, around the whole world doing preaching. And so many opportunities were coming. So then it puts it all into reality, isn't it? Like, how much am I doing the same thing, but how much variety is there in spiritual life? And so this analogy that's given in the 15th chapter of the banyan tree, or where it's referred to here, it's explaining the nature of this world as ever entangling. Has anyone ever seen a banyan tree? Yeah, a few people. So this banyan tree is described that actually the branches are coming downwards, the roots are upwards, but the confusing thing is even on the branches, there's certain like offshoots of roots that are there. It's even there. So when you're looking at this tree, actually it's difficult to even understand where does it start, where does it stop, where is even the main trunk of this tree, because it's just so covered. It's just, from all angles, you're just bewildered, you're confused, what's, you know, how is this even possible? But here it's explained, or in the 15th chapter, it's explained that the downward branches, these are all the fruit of activities. These are all the things that are very much entangling us in this material world. They give us some element of false hope or false enjoyment, but it's so strong that someone's impelled to actually keep going on and on, that they just want that glimmer of hope, that glimmer of happiness, and they'll go through so many difficulties again and again. And then here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that actually, through this coming in contact with someone that's practicing this spiritual knowledge, he says, not just someone that knows the Vedanta, he's explaining someone that's actually, you know, really practicing it, someone that really knows the purpose of it, someone that can share it with others. Through this, actually, we can cut this whole banyan tree. We can cut this whole bondage to this material existence. And so he's explaining that in a way that's very kind of accessible, very relevant to each and every one of us, actually, that when that work is offered to Krishna, then it becomes karma yoga, then it becomes a source by which we can spiritualize our work. And then instead of something that bounds us to this world, instead of something that you know, holds a strong entanglement on us, then instead of that, it cuts all of that, and it can directly take us to the lotus feet of Krishna, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you can see, actually, then after there, he actually starts explaining the development of someone's faith, the development of someone's journey, and how they develop faith in this whole process. So faith is a crucial element of bhakti. And the first thing he says is that, first of all, we have to have the association of pure devotees. That's where it all starts. So you come in contact with someone that's very pure, someone that has an element of pure devotion to Krishna. And then it says from there, from that element, you actually, one should start rendering loving devotional service with their mind, physically also, and they should have no reservation. Just really, you know, immerse yourself, really absorb in that service of that devotee. And then through that, the pure devotee or the advanced devotee, they actually become favorably imposed towards you. Because of the service attitude, because you're taking that humble stance, they become favorable towards you. And due to their favor, they actually inject you with the divine qualities, instead of the lower qualities, which a lot of the time in material world we get injected with, isn't it? I remember Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Shri Gaurinitaya Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki. So I was remembering the need of spiritual association and the need of understanding what material association can do to us. When I was thinking about one time when I was at university, and every year I had one friend who was from another tradition. I won't mention who, but very forceful tradition. And then every year, only at exam time, he would come up to me and try and debate me. And he'll be like, you know, what does your scripture say on this? What does your scripture say on that? What does it say on that? You know, et cetera, et cetera. And he was very forceful. He was very aggressive. He was very, his only real motive was to convert me. So he was saying, okay, if I defeat you in this argument, you have to convert. And then my motive was just like, okay, you're asking me a question, I'll answer your question. Take the knowledge. If you want it or not, it's up to you. So every question, he would just be like, okay, now you have to convert. I was like, no, wait, there's this dimension, there's that dimension. So every time I would go away from this interaction, I feel so frustrated. I feel just dirty, just annoyed, etc. So then I was asking one devotee, there's this individual, you know, he keeps trying to debate me. I've also got my exams because I've not gone to university for the whole year and now I'm trying to cram it in. So all of this is going on, but I feel so frustrated when I come away. And then he actually explained it to me, what happens. As soon as we have any element of association, there's a transfer of the moods and qualities of individuals. So because he was explaining to me, because that individual, his only motive is to convert you. So therefore, when he's not getting what he wants, he's also frustrated, and that mood now is being injected onto you, unless you have a higher element of or a higher mood or qualities within you to deal with that. So this is what material association can do. It can very easily, it frustrates us, very easily it brings us down. And the spiritual association is very crucial because it helps us, it gives us a shelter from all of that. It helps us deal with all of that, it helps us steer clear from all of that as well. But when you look at the nature of them, material association and spiritual association, both of them are breaking your false ego. Both of them, in different ways, are breaking our false ego. When you're in a material environment or material activities, that breaks our false ego because, to some extent, it humiliates us. It takes us down, isn't it? It breaks us away from anything that we're integral towards, any values we have, and it very much leaves us with an element of frustration. Whereas spiritual association, that breaks our false ego, but in a way that's conducive for us. When you're serving someone else, you know, automatically your needs are put to aside. But with that, it actually elevates us. So instead of frustrating us, it actually takes us up. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is explaining, that actually through this service, we're brought up, and through that humble mood, that attitude, then the pure devotees actually start bestowing their mercy, bestowing their blessings, and through that, so much can come. Through that, the pure devotees, they can see so much of our reality, so much of our position that we're meant to be in, and they can reveal so many things to us. I remember once, this is when I was first traveling with His Holiness Kalamakaran Maharaj, and we were going from, I think it was Germany to Switzerland or something like that. And I was reading this purport in Bhagavatam where, it wasn't from Bhagavatam, it was a conversation between Thamma Krishna Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. And he was talking about some of the mountains in Switzerland. He was saying like how they have gold on the top of them. And actually there's some places where you can have a gateway to heaven, the heavenly planets. So I just heard this. I'm on the train on the way to Switzerland. And I thought, okay, you know, my spiritual master's here. let me speak to him about this. So then I just brought it up, like, oh, Maharaj, I'm reading this conversation. And then straight away, there was a cut. Straight away, Maharaj cut me. And he just straight said, I'm not going there. If you want to go there, then that's up to you and your desires. But I'm going beyond that. So then I didn't really understand why he said that. And there's many interactions that I've had with him or other saintly individuals, where often, initially, it does leave you a bit frustrated. Like, often, initially, you feel like, why did that person answer my question in this way? Why didn't they answer it in a way that was nice or that I wanted it to be answered in, etc., like that? But then it just takes a certain amount of time for the tipping point to come. Then at one point in the future, you'll definitely know that, okay, this person knows me inside out. And that would happen again and again when I was meeting certain senior devotees. I was always kind of questioning, you know, why did they give me that answer? Like, it shakes your faith a little bit. But then you see, actually, they have a deeper vision. They're seeing from so many more dynamics, from a whole higher spiritual dynamic compared to the box that I was in. Then that's where the faith really grows, that actually this person really does know me. This person is my shelter, my element of safety, and they will take me back to the spiritual world. And so you see that through this spiritual association, when there are hard knocks in the world, and inevitably there's always hard knocks, it gives us that deep foundation, and it also gives us the deep illuminations of what I mentioned you meant to do in this situation. Often it's difficult, like, to know exactly what Krishna is trying to do in a situation. Often we question, isn't it, like, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? What am I meant to do? But actually, through devotees, through the words of the devotees, we'll see that actually we may not know exactly what Krishna is trying to do in the situation, but through the words of the devotees, we'll know exactly what Krishna wants us to do in the situation. So we might not know his bigger picture, but we'll know where we're meant to fit in through their guidance, etc. So then through that purification, through the injection from the pure devotees, Prabhupada then explains it's actually that gives us the qualification to attain some element of attachment to hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And from that we get knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As that progresses and matures, as one's devotional service becomes more and more pure, then it's explained that their relationship with Krishna gets perfect, more and more perfect, and their knowledge of him becomes more and more perfect. So from my perspective in this verse, it all kind of very much starts from that association. It's all an element of taking that leap of faith in the pure devotees, developing that relationship, and through them we'll actually be able to uphold our spiritual nature, rise above and above, and connect to Krishna a lot deeper. And it's amazing, so there's this the book that Shivram Maharaj recently released, I think maybe a year or two ago, the conversation between Juvasa Muni and Lord Krishna, where he's talking about, you know, the offense that he's made to Ambarish Maharaj. And so there's one point in there where Krishna's speaking and he says, actually, I don't only give the mercy to my devotees, and I don't only give the mercy to the devotees of my devotees, but actually anyone who has faith in the words of my devotees, they will similarly get the mercy, similar to the other ones. So it's just that element of faith. And then he explains to Juvasa Muni that actually when Dwarka was getting under attack, and you were sent to help in some way, then at that point Narada Muni said to you, go and get Narayan, only he can help you. And so at that point you came and you saw me, and he said the only reason that you were able to see me is because you had faith in Lord Narayan's in Narada Muni's words. And he said, similarly now that you've actually gone all over the universe, you've tried to find different personalities who can save you from this Sudarshan Chakra, who can save you from your offense to Ambarish Maharaj. And he said, you've gone to all of them, none of them can help you, but Lord Shiva has sent you here. And only because you had faith in his words are you able to come here and see me. Only because Lord Shiva gave you that instruction and you followed it were you able to actually have the entrance to my darshan. So it all very much starts with this element of faith, and from that it matures and it gets deeper and deeper through the association of the devotees. And many of us, you may have heard the story, the common story of the elderly lady who at one point she buys a brand new white sari. And so she's wearing this sari for many, many years. And as she's going along, the sari starts becoming dirtier and dirtier. And then, as you know, with Indians, as soon as it becomes dirty, you use it for something else. So she tears it up, she starts using it as a rug. And then, as soon as that rug starts becoming dirty, then she thinks, actually, there's no use for this. It becomes so dirty that she just throws it in the middle of the street. And then, at one point, there's a devotee who goes by the name Ramdas, and he comes and he sees this little piece of cloth on the floor. People are just stepping over it, no attention's given to it. And then at that point, he picks it up, he goes to the river close by, and then he starts washing it. He's washing it, a little bit of dirt comes out, then he starts putting more and more soap on it, a bit more dirt comes out, then with the soap, the water, he gets a stick and starts beating it, and then all the dirt starts coming out. And then at that point, he's got what looks like a nice clean cloth, but the problem is that all the strings are now quite loose off the cloth, so it's kind of like falling apart. So then what he does is that he twists it around, he knots it up, and he puts it on the lamp, and he puts ghee in it, and he offers it as a lamp, as the ghee lamp to the Lord. So he utilized it in that way. So it's explained that this actually represents our life. That sheet is us, we're going around in life, and the dirt that is accumulating is through the fruitive and material activities that we're doing. Sinful things, things that bound us to this world, it taints that pure white, that pure perspective, pure aspect that we have. And then he said, at one point, there will be a tipping point. At one point, things will change. And we'll come in contact with someone of a saintly nature. And that person of a saintly nature, they actually start cleansing our character. And it's not cleansing of water, but it's cleansing through the fluid of bhakti. And the soap that they start applying to us is a soap of knowledge. They start giving us knowledge. The essence of what they're giving is knowledge. Then they start beating us. Not physically, don't worry. but they start beating us with the stick of detachment. So they themselves, they cleanse us, they give us knowledge, and that knowledge is what helps us detach. And then ultimately we're left in a position where we're very purified, we're let go of many things in our lives, and with that we're able to do some sort of offering to Krishna. Then we're able to get that small existence that we have as a small spirit soul and say to Krishna, okay, let me try and do something out of devotion. Let me try and offer myself to you. This is what happens when we come in contact with a devotee. And we see that we have such a rich lineage to look look up to, who have given us so many different opportunities to progress in our spiritual life. And as Prabhupada often said, that he actually is the qualification. He is our qualification. So he's enabled us to have this spiritual opportunity, this spiritual knowledge, this spiritual life, where we get so much shelter from so many dynamics. But it all starts with intensifying our faith now that we have come in contact with him. So these are just some thoughts on the verse today. So if anyone has any comments, questions, queries...